This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Feminism in your ears. It's another broad podcast on Joy 94.9. Keep listening. Hashtag feminism, hashtag podcast, hashtag broad on Joy 94.9.
I'm gonna marry the night. I won't give up on my life. I'm a warrior queen, live passionately tonight. Not waxing the legs or shaving in the pit or bleaching my lip, 'cause I don't give a sh.
You're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
That we are conditioned to view women and girls as being lesser somehow. Mm. And, you know, many people deny that that's a reality that exists, but that is the reality that we live in. We know that because we do have phrases like a girl. People pretend that they use them as jokes or whatever. Why is that funny? Why is it funny? Why is it meaningless to talk about the way that girls do things as being less than or being rubbish somehow?
Mm.
That we still live in a world which subjects girls and women to, you know, extraordinary levels of violence. To be born into this world and to be a girl, the exploitation and the violence that awaits us in all sorts of different ways is huge.
We'll be right back.
Broad would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands that we broadcast from, the Kulin Nation, and pay respect to all the Kulin elders, women from the past, present, and those women who will be our future elders. We'd also like to acknowledge with respect the traditional owners of all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander lands that we broadcast to, and to pay respect to all elders and women elders from all clans and nations, past, present, and future. Welcome to Broad. That was the High Tech Emotions. They're a fantastic Melbourne three-piece, Jess, Emma and Mackenzie, and the song's called Look Around. So I'm just stuck on that. It's called Key Punk, apparently. Key Punk, that's a thing. You can find out more about that when we play the interview. We had a chat to them earlier in the week. I shouldn't say early in the week because it is early in the week. It's Monday. We'll play that a bit later in the show. So here we are, Monday, October the 3rd, 2016. And Jackie is returned here, thankfully.
Back again. Hello.
Saving my biscuits, as she always does. But we also have a very special person, and I do mean that, who we've been fighting over online to get into the studio. We've got her here. It's very special, very rewarding. It's Sara Lamberg returns.
Hi, so nice to be here again. I could live here in this studio. It's just so comfortable.
I shouldn't say returns because you've never been on here. Well, not in this show, this capacity.
This is true, yeah. So we have
not on Broad.
We have been here together for four times before this
at
for
least,
your shows.
At
yeah.
least. Sci-fi and Scream, and it was crazy, wasn't it?
Like, it was fun.
Horror, and mainly horror.
I'm still not over it. Like, it's just
no, I mean
me.
Horror films. I mean, we talked about your thrilling horror sort of, I don't know what you call it, your stylish, provocative films that you make.
Oh, thank you. That could be a new genre, couldn't it? Stylish, provocative. I like
we
it.
We need to shorten it. What was, should
Stiper?
We call it?
Stiko? I don't know. Stiko. Do you, like, work with that?
Stiko style.
Stipro, no, pro-provocative.
Proquo. What do you think? Now, Sarah's going to be talking about a number of things, including what it is like, her experience of being a woman making films. She's just done her feature film, Innuendo. She's also working on a fabulous short film called Half, am I right?
Yeah, correct. So that's currently in post-production. So just
as of yesterday?
Yeah. So it was originally going to be a four-day shoot. However, the day before we went onto location, the weather forecast just was showing that in 2 days' time it will start raining and it will never stop.
Oh, yes, and it did say that. I'm waiting
taking,
for that
yeah,
to happen.
Yeah, in that particular location where we were and given that we had everything but one shot that was indoors, so 99.9% of our shots were exteriors, we sort of went, well, I guess we'll have to do it in 2 days then.
Yeah, so when I contacted you, you were like, yes, you'll just have to remind me. And you ended up reminding me, but I remembered. How could I forget? So we'll chat in more depth about that production, that project, and also, yeah, like I said, being a woman making films, gender matters, and it certainly does here on Broad. We also will be having High Tech Emotions. We're speaking to Jess and Emma, at least two of the emotions, I should say two of the high techs. There's three of them in the band. And we, of course, have the fantastic honour of having an interview with none other but Clementine Ford. That's right, Fight Like a Girl has arrived. This book is just incredible. It's on the best-selling list already. It was on the best-selling list before it was even published last Wednesday, before it was even physically available. So that just shows you. So raise voices, raise courage, raise the flag, Fight Like a Girl. And we'll chat to her a little bit later on. So if you do want to contact us, you can. 0427JOY949. 1300JOY949, or you can email us on air at joy.org.au. We're also on Twitter, I think, aren't we, Jackie?
We are, and we're on Facebook.
Yep.
We've got
yeah.
links going up all night.
All night. Well, at least for an hour or so.
While we're on air, anyway.
Yeah. Now, of course, during the weekend, I was very fortunate to go to something called Sad Girls Festival, or Sad Girls Fest, in Melbourne Town at the Reverence, right in the heart of Bulldog territory, Footscray. And that was quite exciting. It was very exciting, actually. There's some fabulous bands. I think there's 23 bands and performers altogether. Women and non-binary, trans and female identifying. Everybody was there. There was even some blokes. So there you go. I did a bit of recording there. I haven't had a chance to do much else except that and some of the photos. But you can check out the pics I took, tried to take, attempted to take, with my little camera. That's up on the Facebook page for Broad as well. So big thanks goes to all the volunteers and everyone at Sad Girls, in particular to the fantastic Rachel. They were awesome. So RMC, Rachel Maria Cox, will play one of your tracks later on too. I'm not sure which one. Maybe A Phone I Can't Use or Your Smiling Song, which is going to be, well, I think Rachel played it on Saturday at the Sad Girls Fest. Mm. First time it's been on air.
I don't think that one's been released either. So
no, we're pretty lucky to have that.
Exclusive.
Well, exclusivenessness. So, I don't know, maybe, I think we've got time. Maybe we could do the news. What do you think?
Yeah, I think we can go.
We're very
news.
Prepared. My
can
running sheet.
Can we, like, come up with some news? Can we just, like...
I've got news.
Oh, you've She's got them. All right.
News.
I was
I
just going to improvise.
Make some news up. We can do this.
Okay, Broad news very soon here on Broad on Joy 94.9.
From Australia and around the globe, this is the Broadcast News.
Polish women are planning to go to strike in protest of a proposed ban on all abortion. Poland's current abortion laws are extremely strict, with terminations legally permitted only when the life of the fetus is under threat, when there is a grave threat to the health of the mother, and in the instance that the pregnancy resulted from rape or incest. The proposed laws would criminalise all terminations and punish women and their doctors with up to 5 years in prison. Thousands of women in Poland are planning to strike today, and strike co-coordinator Magda Stokowskich has said, "A lot of women and girls in this country have felt like they don't have any power, that they are not equal, that they don't have the right to an opinion. This is a chance for us to be seen and to be heard." In 1975, a similar protest in Iceland saw over 90% of Icelandic women go on strike from all domestic work, highlighting the pay gap and the devaluation of women's labour, and leading to widespread reform in the Icelandic government and law. Hopefully today's strike will see similar success for women in Poland.
Go Poland! Yeah. Has Finland done anything similar? Speaking of Iceland and up there, you know, in the far reaches...
Luckily, I believe the abortion is fairly legal in Finland, so
good.
Yeah, we don't have to struggle with that particular one. Fantastic. But yeah, well done, Poland.
Yeah, well done the women of Poland fighting against Polish conservatives. Mm. Women's self-defence is on the rise in India in response to soaring crime rates against women. One group promoting women's self-defence is the Swarakshan Trust, which is currently teaching self-defence to female taxi drivers with the aim to give these women agency and protection, allowing them to work more. The Trust has run self-defence workshops for female employees from a wide range of companies and NGOs and is expanding to give opportunities to more working women in India. Co-founder Suresh Nair commented, "The rising incidence of violence against women almost every week challenged us to come up with an effective solution. So we decided to form a small group to empower women and anyone else who needed it. Our own resource crunch is a hurdle to our expansion. With more helping hands, we can expand this program to all members of society who need these skills as our mission progresses." So that's some exciting news from India there. And over in the US, the presidential debate last week sparked a huge response, highlighting both Donald Trump's sexism and disrespect towards women and his inability to follow basic debate rules. Trump interrupted both Hillary Clinton and the debate moderator, used personal insults, and even told outright lies several times during the debate. It was interesting to see the response from the general public was pretty feminist-friendly. And on our Facebook page, we've linked an article with the best of feminist tweets in response to the debate.
Oh, I can't wait to read that. I haven't had a chance to. Awesome.
It was kind of hilarious, but also, like, pretty horrifying.
It's deeply disturbing that this person will be in charge of the biggest, if anything, military warfare weapons on the planet. It's rather
frightening. Hopefully he won't be.
Like, am I the only one that thinks that this is all just a big reality show? Like someone's just filming him throughout, that kind of thing. Everything that comes out, it just sounds like it can't be real, you know. This is just a big plot, and it's an entertaining plot, if that's what it is.
It's,
and I really hope that's what it will be.
I would like to think so, but yes, we'll wake up and it will be like some bad, weird dream. But We'll see. November.
Either that or Hillary will get in. Who's sleeping?
I don't know. But look, I think yesterday I saw Obama did release something talking about trying to get basically the black vote in African American vote in the US. So really demanding that people enroll, enlist, or whatever it is that they do, and vote. Yes, so it's pretty much a call to arms, one could say. And of course, we, you know, here at Broad, we're disgusted with the way that African American people are experiencing what they are experiencing. So hashtag Black Lives Matter for us here on Broad.
For sure. And that's it for the Broad News tonight.
Oh, sorry. Is it finished?
All, all right. Good.
Just Sonia raving on and on. But if you want to rave with us, go ahead, 0427JOY949, or email us on air at joy.org.au and make our night. This is Broad.
Hi, we're the Girl Freeders, and you're listening to Broad on Joy
94.9. Yeah, the awesome Girl Freeders, the Girl Freeders, were, of course, at Sad Girls, and they're great supporters of Broad, and we support them. So thank you very much. The Girl Freeders, it was a fun weekend. Saturday, something like 8 or 9 hours of just full-on female-friendly, wonderful bands and non-binary, trans, queer. Everybody was there except for Jackie.
I'm so sad. I missed it.
Yeah, Sad Girls. You're a sad girl.
I was a sad girl.
But speaking of a sad girl and a good girl and a wonderful woman, we have here Sara Lamberg, filmmaker, actress, a cannibal, I believe.
Yeah, only on my free time.
On your free time. So, Sara, I was going to ask you, you're the filmmaker of obviously moving pictures, and as a woman, what has that experience been like for you, coming from that, you know, coming from your gender?
Well, I guess I haven't really experienced making films as a man, so that's
fair
a good
enough.
Start there. You should ask someone who has done both. But yeah, obviously there are always challenges because we are still a minority, unfortunately, and it's not necessarily that less women would want to do it. I think there's just less opportunities for women to do it, and it's quite deeply rooted attitudes, and also from funding bodies, that women just simply don't get as many projects greenlit as men do, which is still a problem in most countries. There's really good examples in Sweden and Canada, for example, where they've got programs in place where they've decided that 50-50, you know, women directors will get 50% of the funding, and that's it. And and there's always a lot of, oh, that will just mean that women will make worse films that they're potentially talented men that could have been funded that year. But yes, it might be artificial to start with, but you need those kind of strict programs to be able to really equalize the whole industry, and to get rid of those deeply rooted attitudes that go with it, that true. Somehow content that men make is more interesting and more cutting edge, which is simply not true, obviously.
Gender Matters, of course, for Screen Australia released Gender Matters earlier this year, and that's quite exciting. Has that affected you? I mean, is that going to be helpful for what you do?
Yeah, so that was a fantastic program. Unfortunately, just the one-off. They haven't really said that there will be similar programs in the future. And I'm sure there will be a lot of benefits for all female filmmakers from that program. But yeah, like I said, that was just the one-off. And I feel like more fundamental change needs to happen. Yes, it was a good thing, but it's not going to solve the problem overall.
Yeah, exactly. Well, hopefully more will happen in that. We'll probably keep up to date with those sort of sort of developments, I suppose, in that area. But for you, of course, I think let's talk about your films.
Let's
get in there.
Yeah, really, I just want to make work, and, you know, I'd rather not think about whether I have boobs or don't have boobs. You know, that shouldn't have to matter. I do have them, and I quite like them.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're here to talk about films, not my boobs.
Okay.
Good. Is that can we
talk about innuendo? I think we see boobs in that. See your boobs?
Not mine. No, you do see some boobs.
Yeah. Aren't they yours? Well, was that a boob for one? Sorry.
I don't think you can see my boobs in it. No.
How many
sorry.
Times can we say that word?
No, just keep saying boobs and like I'm sure we'll get somewhere. No, yeah. So there is life drawing models in my film, but the boobs you see are not mine. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
That's probably a good thing.
Yeah, look, I mean, anonymous boobs. That's a good, good way to be. So, yes, what is innuendo about without giving it away? I mean, it's so far. Where has it been shown? What happens to it?
Yeah. So we've only just completed the film. It hasn't been shown publicly anywhere. We have run a couple of industry screenings, so just private invitation type of things for Melbourne filmmakers, distributors, producers, that kind of thing. But we're still looking for our big festival premiere and really hoping that we'll get into one of the big ones, which would be fantastic.
Any nibbles, as I say?
So we're currently waiting. Mm-hmm. It's always a lot of waiting in the filmmaking world. You submit your film to a festival and then 2 months later you hear whether you get accepted or not. So right. It would be fantastic to get into, you know, Berlin or Sundance or one of those big ones. Would really change the course of our independently made film. It would be fantastic.
Change the course of history. Or her story.
Yeah, my history anyway.
Her story.
Yes, absolutely. Mm. And also the 200 fantastic people that made it with me. I mean, I can't thank them enough. It wasn't just my film. I only wrote, directed, produced and acted in it.
Not
Come
much,
on,
really.
That's not everything. I still needed all those 200 other people
to
help me.
We don't have time for you to read out those 200 people, but we love them.
Yeah. No, they were all fantastic. And for their, you know, I believe this film, once it gets out there, will change all of their careers, hopefully in a better way, and give them, you know, that kind of recognition that they need, because they're all fantastic people and very, very talented in what they do. Women and men. I had lots of both of them in my film, but there were probably more female roles than your average feature film would do. And there's the Bechdel test.
The Bechdel-Wallace test.
Yeah,
yes.
That's right. And we definitely fail that test.
Did you? So, did you pass the test?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, we do pass that test. So
Phew,
yeah. Yeah, right. So, yeah, basically, we'd love to get innuendo out there to the wild world and also get it to the Melbourne audiences. So, cinema owners, you can call me.
Actually, where can people go? Oh, we've got Jackie's done the social media thing.
We did.
Thing again.
It's all on Facebook. We've got links to Sarah's website and to the websites for the individual films as well. So you can check that out
Other
through
films?
Our Facebook.
What other films?
Other films. Oh, yeah. Well, it's, I mean,
Do
obviously,
like
a lot of my time goes still with innuendo, because that's my baby. But there's a few others. That was my first feature. But before then, I've made a few shorts. And this is actually a great next couple of months coming up for me, because 3 of those shorts will be in various short film festivals around the world. So there's a festival in Finland where Candy Cravings will be in October and November.
Candy Cravings is one of my favorites. That's I came across you.
That's the one where I'm a cannibal, and it's
cannibal lesbian.
Yeah,
though.
Cannibal
that's
lesbian.
Good.
Yeah. They don't
good.
Come around very often, do
no.
they? But yeah, the film has done really well, and still, I think it's 3 years since I've made it, and it's still getting into festivals, which it gets invited now, which is lovely. I don't have to submit it anymore.
Cool.
And then there's Finding No, which I don't know if you've seen Finding No.
Oh,
so that's
not Nemo.
Yeah,
no.
That's a dark comedy about people pleaser. That's actually quite relevant to the whole female theme, because obviously a lot of females often feel like they have to just please everyone and say yes to everything. So this film, is about a female that can't say no to anything, and on her journey on how to learn to say no. So that will soon be on the Connect Film Festival, which is right here in Melbourne in October as well. And there'll be a couple of film festivals where we're getting some sneak peeks of Inuendo. So not the whole film yet, just a few bits and pieces.
Not the best parts of the film, though.
maybe some trailers, trailer bits. So also that will be at Connect Film Festival in October in Melbourne. And Lawn Film Festival will also be running a filmmakers event where I'll be talking about how I made Inuendo on such a small budget and how it was all possible.
And there's a chainsaw in the film, which I love.
There's a few chainsaws. Yeah.
So did you learn to carve with the chainsaw? Did you have to?
Yeah. So if it wasn't mentioned yet, but I also play the lead in the film. There was chainsaw carving that I had to do, and also Prendon Bacon, who plays my leading man in the film. He also had to do a fair bit of that, and we had an actual chainsaw carving artist helping us on that journey on how to do that without harming ourselves or anyone else.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting. Yeah, especially for him, because we were such
novices. Because Sherry Curry, who I've interviewed for Broad, people probably know her from that band. I've totally forgotten the name of the band.
The Runaways?
The Runaways. God, Sonia. Get it. No, this Joan is what Jett, happens when you're unscripted. With Joan Jett. She had a terrible chainsaw accident.
Oh,
she's a chainsaw artist.
Yeah.
And she fell off a trestle thing.
Ooh.
And she broke her nose, these huge black eyes.
Oh.
And thankfully the chainsaw didn't cut her on the way down.
They can be very nasty.
Nasty.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
It's not for everyone.
No. And then a couple of other films. Mm. Oh, I forgot to mention. So obviously Half, which is their First Nations Made in Melbourne Film Festival film. That's currently in post-production, and that will premiere in December as part of Made in Melbourne Film Festival.
Yep, cool.
And another, this one's a feature, Cult Girls by Mark Bogaitis.
Mm-hmm.
I played a lead in that one. That's also in post-production at the moment.
Wow, we've got a lot coming out.
Yeah.
So 2017, you'll be able to sit back and chill.
No. I can't even say I hope so. I hope for more work. I'm workaholic.
Important.
So, if you want me as an actor in your film, feel free to send me a message. I'm really open to that. And if you want me to direct your film, again, send me a message. I can do that too.
The camera to use. That's really excellent. No, we need more women making stuff. So very good. So where can people go to contact you then?
Certainly, Facebook is a great way. So you can find me on Facebook. You can either jump on Inuendo's site, so on just facebook.com. Inuendo Movie, you can find it there, or you can find me as well. My name is Sara Lamberg, that's S-A-A-R-A. It's a bit of a funny spelling because I'm from Finland, and Lamberg, L-A-M-B-E-R-G. And feel free to send me a message. Love acting, directing, writing even. Pretty much just a
you can do everything
film nerd.
That's great. Well, don't go away. I mean, you, Sara, don't go away. Stay with us, listeners, because we will play that. We've got the Clem Ford interview very soon. Thanks, Sara. And this is Broad on Joy 94.9.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is it comfy?
Yep.
Cool. All right. Ready? Oh, actually, can you intro the track?
So this song is the single off my EP, I Just Have a Lot of Feelings. It's called A Phone I Can't Use.
Could record our conversation so these songs would write themselves. Instead, I cut them up like animations and try to rearrange the cells. I wish I never wrote that song. It always felt like trying to. wished I'd fucked you in the dark. Now how would it feel if I told you the truth about it all? That you're the only one I accidentally called. I always love the ones who treat me badly. Always hurt the ones who treat me well. So when you told me you were flaky, well, I think that's when I fell. The only people on the road this time of night are the bin men and the taxi drivers. But the glow on my phone will be my light. I'm grateful for our text all-nighters. Now I'm staying up staring at a phone I can't use with bloodshot eyes. I'm still waiting for you to reply. My legs keep falling asleep. I keep thinking my hands have turned into spiders, and my heart skips another beat. I'm not sure if you were talking about my weight or my personality when you said that was not much to me. Oh, but darling, I'm done with the formalities. Why don't you come over and say right through me? 'Cause I would scoop the marrow from my bones with a silver spoon just to have a little company. Is that too soon?
This is Sonia, this is Broad on Joy 94.9, and we have the honour and it's a wonderful pleasure to speak to Clementine Ford on Broad. It almost rhymes. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Sonia. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's been such a very busy, and this is a climactic time for you with the release of Fight Like a Girl, this book. A long time coming. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it's very surreal. You know, one of the questions that I'm being asked a lot is how long it took me to write the book. And, you know, practically, I guess it took me just under a year to write, but really it's a book that's been years in the making. You know, it's a book that's really been evolving throughout my entire life, because
yes,
the book is about girls' experience of being in the world and living in a world which undermines us and which marginalizes us and oppresses us in all sorts of different ways. So it's a lifetime of experience and, you know, journeying through that, I guess, being put down on the page. You know, part of the reason for that title is that we are conditioned to view women and girls as being lesser somehow. And, you know, many people deny that that's a reality that exists, but that is the reality that we live in. And we know that because we do have phrases like a girl used constantly, and people pretend that they use them as jokes or whatever. But it, when you kind of, like, strip that back and ask them to explain why it's funny, why is that funny? Why is it funny? Why is it meaningless to talk about the way that girls do things as being less than or being rubbish somehow? And, you know, then you extrapolate and recognise that we still live in a world which subjects girls and women to, you know, extraordinary levels of violence. To be born into this world and to be a girl is not something that gives you people, you know, the exploitation and the violence that awaits us in all sorts of different ways is huge.
Hmm.
And there's no way that you can kind of discount that. You know, something that I struggle with is people who argue that, you know, well, equality has been achieved and all this feminism rubbish is just going too far. And on that note, I love Judy Horacek's, Judy Horacek, the cartoonist. She's got a wonderful cartoon strip where it's just a group of women walking along and they walk past a man and he says, "You feminists have gone too far." Mm. And then in the next frame he says, "The party's back that way." But yeah, you know, we live in a world where equality hasn't been achieved, and yet people will argue that it has. And in the same breath, when you say to them, "Well, what do you say about violence against women? What do you say about sexual violence? What do you say about the fact that 1 in 5 girls over the age of 15 will experience some form of sexual violence in her lifetime?" Mm. And their response usually seems to be, "Well, that's the world.
That's,
you know, that's
what it's like for a girl."
Nature.
Yeah. Mm. And it's kind of like what you've got to expect. Yeah. It's really
So you believe that we live in a world that's equal. And yet at the same time, you believe that it's just human nature to, that's just something that we can't challenge or change. That the reality of violence against girls and women is just, a human nature kind of deal. It's just a fact.
Yes.
And then funnily enough as well, you know, as a feminist, being accused all the time of demonizing men and thinking that, you know, why do you make out all men to be potential rapists? And you think, well, I don't. I live in my mindset. Demands more of men than that and expects that men can be more than that. It's the mindset that says that women need to modify their behavior because otherwise they should know what to expect, that actually positions men as, you know, like a necessary threat.
Exactly. And now, I think for you, would you say that it's expected that you are that voice and you're the go-to person? Do you think this book, do you think Fight Like a Girl will be that book?
I hope so. Of course I want it to be that book, you know. But the thing is, I want it to be one of many books. I want it to be one of many things that girls and women can not only turn to but also produce themselves, that signify this great change in the way that we take that space back, you know, that shows just how much women and girls are standing together now to occupy the space that belongs to us but that's traditionally been taken away from us. And to do it without fear and without apology and without concession and without any of this kind of traditional niceness and politeness. Because I don't know if I can say this on your radio station, but fuck being polite. Being polite never got us anywhere.
No, you can say what you like. That's great. That's expected, too, of us.
You know, I have even very well-meaning, well-meaning people. You know, there's quite a few male fans who are on my Facebook page. You know, I do have men who follow my work, but I have quite a few well-meaning men who say things like, you know, I'm looking forward to buying this book for my daughter, which is great. I would love for them to buy this book for their daughter. But I also would like them to read it themselves.
Yes.
You know, it's not a book that's just for girls, even though, of course, that's my primary target. And as I'm quite unapologetic in stating, I do write for women. I don't write for men, but that doesn't mean that men can't get something out of it.
Exactly.
I get a little bit bored with this sort of like, you know, we're so surprised to see overt feminist action from men that we kind of like see it and then we, you know, foist these accolades and this attention and praise on them. You know, like, oh, Justin Trudeau, what an amazing man. He's so attractive, blah, blah. It's like, well, yes, he is attractive. But, you know, he shouldn't. Feminism is something that men can claim now and it gives them more space. And it's still something that when women claim decreases the space that we are allowed to occupy. You know, it's still a radical act for a woman to declare herself a feminist, even though it's becoming more popular.
Yes, yeah. No, it's a bit like the ally system that we have, I guess, in the LGBTIQA community. It's pretty similar to the being an ally and all of that kind of thing.
Oh, my God, yeah, like Karl Stefanovic being given an award for being horrifically transphobic and then apologising. I mean, we set the bar so low.
Very low. And it actually hurts. It actually, in my opinion, it hurts the community because it's saying all these other people have done wonderful work, just won't be given that, you know.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Given that focus
and also
and attention.
Because there's this sort of like gratitude that's still expected, you know, because people, certain groups don't have to care about you. So when they do, we're supposed to be so grateful for it.
Yeah.
I apologise. I have a baby strapped to my chest. And he is about to lose his shit.
Is he? Right.
Maybe literally.
Oh, wow. Excellent. Well, he's got a great role model and a mother for sure.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Sonia.
Well, I will wrap it up because you clearly need to do the right parenting things. That's excellent, Clementine. Look, good luck with the book. I believe it's already a bestseller. The pre-sales, yes. It's looking fantastic. All right.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you
good
so
luck.
Much, Sonia. I'm sorry I had to dash quickly.
No, that's cool. Well, that's perfect timing.
Bye.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you. Take care. Bye.
Cheers. Bye.
Hi, this is Clementine Ford. You're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9 FM, and I'm encouraging all of you to fight like a girl, just as I know Sonia does.
This is Broad on Joy 94.9, and thanks very much to Clementine Ford for chatting to us. It was just a brief chat, but there will be more of that because it is going to be podcast in its full entirety. So you can head to joy.org.au. Well, look for Broad, of course, in the podcast when that happens during this week. And yes, Fight Like a Girl, a tremendous book. Lots of controversy, apparently, but I don't think so. I think she makes some very valid points, and haven't had a chance to completely finish it yet. But I will. Maybe we'll review it at some stage. What do you reckon, Jackie?
I think that's a great idea. Cool. Get a book review going.
Yeah, more things to do. Yes. But if you have suggestions, let us know. 0427JOY949. For any feminist fair as far as in the book department, or you can email us on air at joy.org.au. And we've had a message. Jackie.
Thank you, Hannah from Seddon, who says, I have an essay due yesterday and I'm packing boxes so I can move house on Saturday, but I could not miss this show. I'm so excited to hear Sonia interview Clem, two of my favourite angry warrior man-hating feminists.
I'm not a man-hater, though.
Oh, look, I am. No.
Are you? I'm not. Oh, no. I love them to bits, you know, with a chainsaw. No, just kidding. I like horror films, and so does Sarah Lambert. You love horror?
I just love films in general.
Films.
You know, any good film, I don't really care if it's horror.
If it's, exactly.
You know, any good
know,
film. You do get lots of good
thrillers. I'm looking forward to Roar. Have you heard of that one?
No, I haven't.
It's the Canadian cannibal film.
Oh, of course it's a You just have a thing for cannibals, don't you?
Oh, yes. Well, you know, sustenance, as they call it. It's made by a woman too, and apparently it's quite a feminist film as such, and people have been fainting during the festivals. It was at TIFF, the Toronto International Film Festival. They had to call the ambulance.
Oh, wow.
That's a good sign of a good horror film.
That's something to put on your CV. I made a film that made people faint.
Yes, well, look, head to our Facebook page for more goodies and things of interest. Let us know if you have anything you want us to be of interest or something. But we're going to speak now to, well, I've got an interview with a bit of a bite here or two with High Tech Emotions, and that was the lovely Emma and Jess that were in the studio. Mackenzie couldn't make it, but hey, he's not perfect. At least it wasn't an 8-piece band. That could have got a bit crowded, to be quite honest. All right, let's have a listen to them, and if we do get a chance to play RMC to play their track, we shall do, or else we'll just put it on the podcast.
We'll have room somewhere.
We'll have room somewhere, Jackie. There's a room for all of us somewhere. And there's lots of events coming up, so we better cover some of that too shortly. Listen is coming up, Listen, and that's a music conference and feminist conference with panels and discussion and bands and things. And that's coming up 14th, 15th and 16th of October. More about that shortly. Here's High Tech Emotions. You're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9. This is Sonia for Broad on Joy 94.9. And Look Around. Well, that's the name of the single from these people. They're going to be part of the Listen Conference, the Feminist Futures. They're going to be live, and they are in the studio speaking to me. It's High Tech Emotions. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, good. And we have to my right, which no one can see, is Jess.
Hello.
And Emma with one M.
Yeah.
So is it Emma?
It's Emma. I just dropped an M.
Okay. Dropped an M.
Efficiency.
Yeah. Emma Efficiency.
No.
Dunstan?
Dunstan.
Should be.
Oh, cool.
Emma Efficiency, yeah.
So that's got a Shakespeare aspect.
Great. That's good.
Dunstan.
Or Dunstan checks in.
Yeah, that
Dunstan Emma. Emma Dunstan. Excellent. There we are. That was them. That is this. This is High Tech Emotions. With the conference coming up, there's so much happening. It was 14th, 15th and 16th. Listen is a 3-day conference. So it's pretty amazing. I mean,
Yeah, there's a lot of speakers. At the Bella Union, keynotes are by Alok Vaid-Menon and from Dark Matter in the US. And, of course, Fight Like a Girl, that's her, Clementine Ford. Of course, the book's a big success already. It's in the best-selling list already. Like, I know.
Really? Wow.
That was quick. That was incredible. Before the launch.
Amazing.
Well, pre-sales. It's all about pre-sales. And speaking of which, you're playing Friday, the 14th of October.
That's right.
Yeah. Awesome. Tell us about what is High Tech Emotions. How do you describe yourselves?
Well, we're a three-piece, so we've got a member not here today, Mackenzie Randall. Oh. He plays drums.
Yep.
And cool. Jess plays bass, and I play keys and sing. Mm. So a lot of people say it's like synth punk, but I actually play a keyboard. So it's keys punk.
Keys punk sounds good. I like that. Keys punk. Yeah, keys punk. Will it take off? Keys punk.
Well, if some more people start playing keyboard, maybe it will.
Yeah, it's great to see the keyboards. I'm lucky. I've seen the YouTube video online, which people should look up for sure. And I love the ethic that you have there. I like the DIY aspect.
It was very DIY. We did it ourselves. It was great, and we set that all up, Emma and I. It took 8 hours. We got everything just right. And then Vic filmed for us the next day.
Oh, so who did the camera work?
Our friend Vic Armitage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she did a great job. And then she edited it as well. And it was so fun. It was really, really great.
You get the sense of that and in the video. And I really recommend people watch it. It's actually, I've got it in my head now. No, really. It's like, it keeps looping.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very loopy.
It's kind of relentless. In a good way. It just starts pretty full on and ends.
And it's unusual for the keyboards too, I think. It's like the keyboards just keep
repeating
that those chords over and again, and I'm not a musician, so I apologize. Is it chords? Is that what they call
them? I don't play chords in that song, but I play plenty of notes.
Notes, that's it. Notes, not chords, you idiots. Jess is the chord person, am I right?
No. I don't even play chords.
Are we a cordless band, maybe?
Oh, excellent. Maybe. I'll sure edit that and say cordless key punk band.
That's right.
The cordless. You could call yourself the cordless. So Sonia knows, hey, she really knows nothing about music. She's supposed to. Well, I know something about feminism. Speaking of which, do you consider yourselves feminists?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes.
What's important about that? Why, you know, a lot of people are coming out about their feminism in the last couple of years or so, actually. I'm finding, anyway. Why do you think it's important, Jess?
Well, I kind of just feel like we live in a society where it's not the norm to just be nice to everybody. Like everything's set up in a way so that the first way you're meant to react isn't actually keeping in mind what other people feel and how they'll react to that. So that's a big part of feminism for me, especially when we come to talk about intersectional feminism. It's so much broader than just women and men. So
I love it when people use the word broad and things. Yeah. I always hear it go broader. That's it.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, you're right.
I think it's just about being mindful of other people and their needs and looking out for each other a bit more than we are taught to.
It's quite different from, obviously, second wave feminism. There was that, you know, departure where it kind of got a bit messy, but I guess there was other societal forces and things were going on for women then. But it certainly feels different and more inclusive, I hope. You do get that sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels like things are pushing towards that and it's about time.
Mm.
Yeah.
Thanks to probably technology, thanks to social media, thanks to those sorts of things. I think more women have got a chance to get in there and be heard or seen.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think that's true. Totally.
For your band, what made you do this? And how long have you been going, I should ask?
Well, we started last year.
And wow.
We started, I mean, we played in a band before a few years ago.
Well, Emma and I did.
Yeah.
That's right. Our first proper band, not fake band. But yeah, I think it was at the Tote. And there was a house party that was happening and there weren't any or many females on the lineup.
Oh, okay.
And we just were like, yeah, let's start another project.
Right.
So that's how that started. We were originally going to be a two-piece because I've got a drum machine on my keyboard. But at our first gig, which is a house party.
So many fingers. You know, you haven't got...
It was a house party at Jess's house. And during our first song, we realised no one could hear the drum beat. So a person called Mackenzie just decided, hey, I can jump up and play the drums for you.
Because they were set up.
They were set
up. Oh, right, you had some there.
And,
oh, good.
And he got up. We didn't know Mackenzie at all.
Never seen him in my life.
Right.
And, yeah, after that, we were like, that was amazing.
Do you want to
join our band?
Cool. Yeah.
And he did.
He
and
did.
Here we are, and it's great, and it's turned out so perfectly.
It has.
He's so awesome.
Yeah, he's a really amazing drummer and
great
so
person.
Much energy and just a really... really supportive person.
Yeah, you see that, you sense that. Because some people would say, oh, well, you're not a completely woman band, but it's not about that, is it?
No, right? Not at all, not at all.
I guess in some bands, maybe the singer, the person that does a lot of the singing, not certainly doesn't seem to come forward a lot, whereas you seem comfortable with that, and everybody's comfortable with that.
Yeah.
Because I know, you know, it always doesn't it make bands break up, is that the lead singer... just gets too much attention.
Yeah, I'm pretty bad at banter, so I've encouraged Mackenzie at least to have a microphone for banter.
And he can do the drum rolls too. He can do
for his own
exactly,
joke.
Exactly, yeah. And I encourage Jess to have one too if she has anything she would like to say.
I really do.
Yeah, but
except for that time it was your birthday.
Oh yeah, that was a good gig.
You did a happy birthday.
Well, I said it's Emma's birthday, everyone.
Oh, where did that voice come from? Just kidding. Well,
I'll
thank
say hello.
You. Yeah, I will. Yeah, I'll, you know, throw some love, not some eggs. That's what they say. You only throw eggs at politicians anyway, right?
I don't think it'll be necessary to throw eggs.
Thank
you, Sonia. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Sonia.
No worries. Cheers. This is Broad on Joy 94.9. Thank you very much to Jess and Emma from High Tech Emotions. Mackenzie couldn't make it, of course, but hey, their song Look Around, we'll put that up on the Facebook page and Twitter or whatever. It's been very popular so far, so all the best to them. Yes, some Feminist Futures coming up October 14th, 15th and 16th. I believe they're playing on the Friday the 14th of October. So that's great. And Sarah Lamberg is here, and we've got time now. We've got a bit more time until it all is over, and that is chatting to you about what we were talking about off air, actually, in between, in our little breaks here. Talking about women and representation, but actually the role of the female film director on set and that experience. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, well, I can obviously only talk from my own experience, but this is something I have heard from other female filmmakers as well, is the whole taking authority as a female on set can be challenging at times, and sometimes you feel like you have to justify your methods.
Right.
I mean, all.
Is this just to men and women and other people?
All filmmakers have their own methods, but I certainly feel like females have to sort of prove all over and over again that they know what they're doing more so than maybe men do. And if you do something a little bit, you know, left of center, if your method is slightly different to that very strict film school method, certainly you do have to justify it much more than perhaps males in the same position would have to. And yeah, it's a bit of a battle, internal battle as well, to rely on your own skills when you constantly have to prove that you know what you're doing.
Yes.
Even after I'd just come from directing a feature film, completing a feature film, and then I go on a set to do a short film, I still feel like there's people there that constantly need me to justify that I know what I'm doing. And especially it's with the technical skills. I think that's what a lot of female directors...
That's what Gender Matters is looking interesting. One of their programs they are going to do is... to educate more women to go into the tech side of the filmmaking, which I think would be great to see that representation, you know, more women doing, you know, the techie stuff.
Yeah, and as a film director, you know, you have to understand all sides. You have to understand enough about the technical... you have to understand enough about the performance side of things. I don't believe that you have to be... the best person for each job, because that's why you get other people to work with you. But you have to understand enough of each job to be able to direct the film the way you want
and
to.
And have that, yeah, be competent in some of those
But
areas.
Also you do need those people that work with you to understand that you do understand what you're talking about.
I know what I'm talking about.
And I think
Don't mess with this bitch.
That's the challenge for all female and male crew members, is to, you know, just trust people. Just trust other people to know that they know what they're doing. That there's a reason why they are on that set. There's a reason why they've been chosen to direct a film. And it's not because they are a female or because they're a male. It's because they are the best person for
I'm just
the job.
Wondering if it's an English-speaking issue. I'm saying that because we had a wonderful woman on air a few weeks back now, back in last month. The space between the director of that and it was Ruth Borgaballo, a wonderful Italian-Australian woman. The podcast is available, of course, on joy.org.au/broad. But she was talking about her experience directing a film in Italy, where she's, you know, most of it was filmed in Italy, this particular film, The Space Between. And, of course, she said she had no issues in Italy. She found it more difficult in Australia to get men to trust her, to work with her, and just to deal with it, you know, get over it, deal with it. But in Italy, which I would have thought would have been very masculine, very macho, no, she had, she turned up and they accepted right away that she was in charge, and so they followed her orders and she was in charge.
Yeah, that's
and that was that. So I'm just wondering if it might be an English-speaking thing.
It could be, and obviously English is not my mother tongue either, so that would be something that I struggle with.
And the space in between, The space between is still playing because the Lavazza Italian Film Festival is still going. It goes till October the 9th, I believe. It's playing. No, it's going longer than that. Oops. It's going to be at the Bulwin from Thursday the 6th, Friday the 7th of October, and then Wednesday the 12th. So the fabulous. You can still catch it.
Yeah.
Good
now,
one.
I wouldn't just want to shoot down all Australian crews, though.
Yeah,
I have
know.
Had some very, very good experiences as well. And that's mainly when I have been able to choose my people to work with.
Right.
And I suppose that's why I really love producing films now, because I get to pick the people I work with, so it's already at the point where I pick my crew members. I can already see if there's going to be problems with someone, if they do have those you know, issues with me as a female,
you know,
being a director,
how to deal with it.
And then I won't even work with those people, you know, if from the beginning it seems like there's going to be problems, because I don't want to be that person that's having to fight the ground on set, you know. There has to be the respect,
especially when it's
from
restricted
the beginning.
Of time.
Exactly, yeah.
Speaking of which, we're running out of time. Did you like the way I shut you down? Sorry, Sarah.
Yes. All right. Fair enough. I suppose you're the boss of this
program. Well,
we will
wrap it up. But I also, before I do forget, and I don't want to forget, because she was a wonderful woman, I want to dedicate tonight's show, Broad and Broad in general, to the late Lindsay C. Walker, who we lost last week, so very sad indeed for our community. And she was a fabulous artist and wonderful geek woman as well. She was on Sci-Fi and Scream a few times, and we did some podcasts, Women in Comics, and she was part of that. So yes, a shout out to her family, who are doing it tough at the moment, to her beautiful daughters and her beautiful partner Kim. Just wishing you all the strength that you need. And so this one's for Lindsay, but thanks for coming in to Sarah.
Thank you.
Tonight.
Always such a pleasure.
Thank you. And Jackie, thanks for the news and thanks for keeping it going and together.
As always.
We'll put the podcast up later. All right. Thank you very much. Next week, actually more films. I've got a whole bunch of films to talk about next week. So Films for Feminists is back, and maybe there'll be a book review and another interview, I think. Anyway, enough of that. Beck, Bite Me Down Under is coming up soon on the hour. So thank you again for listening and tuning in. Catch us later next Monday, 9 o'clock, for Broad on Joy 94.9.
And it was strange going back to the place that I almost died. And I wish that you were there with me. I know I've said it several times. I just don't know how to explain how I feel to you. But the lights over Adelaide looked beautiful and it made me think of you. Now I don't wanna fuck you in the dark anymore. I just wanna hang out in my parents' house until 4 in the morning. No, I don't wanna fuck you, I just miss you and I love you and I know that it's been said before. But if you ever need a place to stay after work, just end up at my door. I'm smiling when I kiss you, I'm sorry if I pull away. I just get so damn excited thinking you might be here to stay. He pointed it out to me once and now I'm too nervous to smile. But you make me less self-conscious, yeah, you make me feel worthwhile. Telling you about the space that I was in, and I don't think you knew what to say, so you didn't say anything. I just wanna go to shows with you and feel your arm around my waist, because I've loved you since I met you and I still can't say it to your face. Counting down the days till I see you next, hoping that you stay at my place so we can watch High School Musical 2 in bed. And when you kiss me in front of your friends, it makes me feel less small. So if you ever need a place to stay after shows, well, you know who to call. Smiling when I kiss you, I'm sorry if my explanation don't make sense. I just get so damn excited when you kiss me in front of your friends. He pointed it out to me once and now I'm too nervous to smile. But you make me less self-conscious, yeah, you make me feel worthwhile.
Thank you, sisters. You've been listening to this Broad podcast here on Joy 94.9. Don't forget to tune in to us Monday nights at 9 p.m. on Joy for feminism in your ears.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.